the 12th chapter.
Lord,
praise to you, Christ.
Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in one household will be divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it's going to rain. And so it happens. And when you see a south wind blowing, you say, there will be a scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I invite the children to come up. Hi, guys.
Hi.
How you doing?
Yes.
Have any of you ever played Follow the Leader?
Yes.
You do? Well, if I were the leader and I put my hand on my head, what would you do? Well, where's your hand? Oh, see, I caught you. What if I pulled my nose? Would you pull yours?
Yeah.
Okay. How about if I pulled my ear? Okay. What if I folded my hands and prayed? Would you pray?
Yeah.
All right. What would you pray?
The same thing as you
prayed. The same thing I prayed. So can you pray with me? Okay. You know, Jesus, in the lesson we had today, they said Jesus was the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. In other words, he was the leader. And when we follow Jesus, we follow his word. So let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, well, not everybody knows how to follow, do they? Let's try it again. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for following us.
Thank you for following us.
And letting us follow you.
And letting us follow you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For all the good things.
For all the good things.
That you give to us.
That you give to us.
Help us to be your children.
Help us to be your children.
And follow you always.
And follow you always.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Great. Now, you're a follower of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
All right, you can have a seat. Thank you. When I was a kid on the farm, we used to, the neighbors would sometimes come over, or our relatives, we had lots of relatives. And it would be after chores were done and it was dark. And they would, the adults would go in the house and they'd play games. And we kids would go outside and play games. And the game that we often played most was hide and seek. And the thing was, on the farm at least, we only had one yard light. And under that yard light, you could see just about everything, but it's in the shadows that you had to go looking for people. I remember once we had a big blue spruce tree at one of the places we were playing, and I slid under the lower branch. It was right down close to the ground. And in the shadow of that blue spruce tree, nobody could see me. In fact, the people who were looking for me walked right by me and almost stepped on my fingertips. I was that well hidden, and I waited until they said, what was the word? Ollie, ollie, oxen free, of course. Well, there was a song by that name, written by Rod McEwen, and some of you happen to know that. I'm guessing. I noticed some of the people in the back didn't know the magic words. But the refrain goes like this. Ale, 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 oxen free. Ale, 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 oxen free. Time to see the fairness of a children's game. Time to stop and learn to do the same. Hiding was a favorite thing for us to do. And not always did you get the Ali Ali oxen free. There was a movie on TV that we didn't get to watch. My parents wouldn't let us watch it because it was too scary. There were five of us who were very young, and she didn't want to be up all night facing our nightmares. It was called The Shadow. Did anybody watch The
Shadow?
The Shadow knows.
Yes.
Yeah, and the shadow, I guess, since I never saw it, I just remember that phrase. And I remember that they said wherever the shadow was, there was death and destruction or danger. And you wanted to avoid the shadow at all costs. Well, one of my classmates did get to watch it. And he was kind of disgusted the next morning. He said his little brother, every time the shadow came on, he covered his eyes, hoping the shadow wouldn't see him. Well, it's kind of like the game that many of us play as kids, where if you cover your eyes, nobody can see you.
Yeah.
You remember that? At least our kids played that. See, now you can't see me, right? Well, not really. But there are a lot of people who act as if that's the way it is with God. That if God can't see them, then it doesn't matter what they say, what they do. They can act in any way they want to. Well, Dennis wasn't the only one who was in that boat. Jeremiah was talking to people at a time when they were of the opinion that if God couldn't see them, they could get by with anything they wanted. Jeremiah says, "Is there really any place that you can hide? Is there any place you can avoid my seeing you?" And he says, "Of course not." But the people of that day had the belief of their Canaanite neighbors and of their neighbors up in off in Egypt, off south in Egypt, and that was that all of their gods were territorial. That means their gods couldn't go across boundaries. I don't know how the gods knew where the boundaries were, but that was their thing. But one of the boundaries was a river or the sea. Remember the Egyptians tried to chase the Hebrews? And the Hebrews could go across because their god wasn't territorial. But the Egyptians' gods must have been territorial because they drowned in the Red Sea. Well, the same was true of the people in that area. They really thought that God was locked in the temple. That sounds like some Christians who think that God is locked in the church. You know, that's why we have a lock on the door there, to keep God in, so that what we do out there doesn't really matter. We can think, we can act, we can do whatever we want because God's church.
No,
that's right. That's not true, is it? And that's what Jeremiah was trying to tell people. That's not the way God acts. God is everywhere. And God is with us no matter where we are, so that he hears every thought, every word, every deed. God is there. And Jeremiah goes on and says, for God, my word is like a flame. My word is like a hammer that breaks a rock. My word has that kind of power. Most people probably know that there are certain plants that require a fire in order to reproduce. Like the lodgepole pine is one of those where there isn't a forest fire, the seeds are not released. And therefore, it will just sit there dormant or will just plain rot because it needs the fire to break open the seed pod so that the seeds can flourish. There are other plants that are like that. I read just this week about how the American Indians discovered that they had to start little prairie fires in order for the prairie to replenish itself. Well, the forestry services find the same kind of thing, not only with the prairies, but also with the forests. God's fire is like that. It's not meant to destroy, but to bring about new life. In the book of Hebrews, which we were reading from the second reading, the writer of Hebrews points out that, excuse me, I'm a little bit hoarse from a week of hoarseness. I was going to say horsing around, but that doesn't. No, that has nothing to do with Hebrews. The Hebrew writers are talking about how God has been with these people no matter where they've been. When they were in Egypt, God was there leading them across the Red Sea even when Pharaoh tried to keep them out. That God was with Joshua when he was trying to lead the people into the promised land at Jericho, and Jericho was trying to stop him. But God was there to knock down the walls so that Jericho could be defeated. And he goes through a whole list. A whole list of heroes from the Old Testament, and talks about each one, how each one was found evidence of God working in their lives despite the difficulties. The people of faith, the writer of Hebrews says, know that God is with them even in their struggles, even in with the difficult times that they have to go through. There are no times when God is not there. In fact, he says, the perfect example of that is Jesus, who is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. The one who is willing to take upon himself all of our sin, all of our suffering on the cross, so that we too could rise as free and Christian people who are part of his family. We have been saved by his grace, not by ours or what we have done, but by what he has done for us. Jesus says, of course, this is going to cause some strife. There are going to be fights. There are going to be struggles in families. Well, think about the Civil War and how some families were torn apart by being on both sides of the issue. Well, the same is true in matters of faith. Sometimes we're torn apart by what one family believes or one family thinks and what one family wants to do and the other family doesn't want to do. But in the end, the fact is, God is really the one we need to follow. God is the one who lifts us up and carries us through all of these difficult times. And we need to learn to read the signs. I read a story about a pastor who had a member who invited him to go to a horse race. And he didn't normally go to horse races because, you know, it just wasn't something he did. He wasn't a very good gambler. And he went and he was fascinated by everything. And he noticed down by where the horses were, he noticed his friend, a Roman Catholic priest, was down there. And this priest, he noticed, was making the sign of the cross every so often. And he put two and two together, and he realized that every horse the priest blessed came in first. And he thought, wow, if I just watch him, I'll know how to bet. So in the last race, he sees the priest go over to this horse, and he's certain he's blessing him, so he rushes off and he puts everything out of his wallet on that horse. As soon as the bell rang, the horse came out of the chute and died. Just like that. Well, he didn't know how, he couldn't figure it out. So he went down to his friend who was the priest and said, I don't understand this. Every horse you blessed came in first, except this one. This one died right out of the chute. And he said, that's the problem with you Protestants. You don't know the difference between a blessing and a last rites. So we need to learn to read the signs. We know how to read when the clouds are in the west. Well, here in with the mountains over there, that's not always a sign, is it? But we know when it's going to rain, we can see it coming in. And we know when the wind blows from the south, it's going to be warmer. We know those signs, Jesus says, but you don't know the signs of the kingdom. You need to learn to read what is the will of God. And you can't do that by listening always to other people. And even when we know the signs, we don't always pay attention. You know, Doppler radar and satellite imagery will tell us when a hurricane is coming. But there are many people, you see them on TV, who say, I don't care what that says, I'm staying, I'm not moving. And they're risking their life because a hurricane is coming. We know that almost everybody knows the signs of drug abuse and what drugs and alcohol and cigarettes and tobacco can do to our health and our lives. But look at the number of people who get addicted to them anyway, despite all of the warnings. And sexually transmitted diseases are the same way. We know the dangers, we know the warnings, we know what can happen, but there's always this attitude, well, it may happen to them, but it isn't going to happen to me. And God is saying, or Jesus is saying, read the signs of the time and listen to them. Because God wants you to be free. God wants you to be alive. God wants you to be forgiven. And he came for that purpose. Yeah. That's what Jesus really wants. Not that we suffer, not that we struggle, but that we are given God's free gift. But the only way we can receive it is if we listen to the signs of the time and we pay attention to what is the will of God. Not our will, not what others are saying, but what is the will of God? What would God have us believe? And what would God have us do with any situation so that we can truly be free? Obviously, I wrote another verse to this song, so bear with me. Ali, 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 oxen free. Ali, 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 oxen free. Strong and weak, mild and meek, no more hide and seek. Time to search the scriptures for God's will and grace. Time to give our hearts to Christ, the perfecter of our faith. Time to share the good news.